Morning.
Getting a lot of static. Are you getting it also?
I'm traveling.
Thank you. You're the first to arrive, so we're just waiting for others. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to wait another minute or so and then we'll start.
Okay.
We'll start with the L'shem Yichud.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Okay. Then there's the handout is available on the Unique Astrological Times link. That landing page is available under the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage. But if you're on a mobile device, it's usually at the bottom of the page. When the Unique Astrological Times landing page opens up, scroll down about 4 inches to a section titled Preparation for the Period of Shovavim. And the fourth link under that section is the Psalms landing page, Psalm 69 to 150. And that will be our handout, along with the two links within the section titled Tehillim 81, Psalm 81, on that landing page. And that's about
Judy.
10 inches down from the top. There are two links, one that will open up the Machon Mamre. And when that opens up, you'll need to scroll down to Psalm 81. And there's also the Yearning for Redemption PDF, which is the translations of the Psalms by Rabbi Avraham Sutton. And we'll be using both of those today as well. When we get to the translation, we will start with the Yearning for Redemption PDF. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yud Hei Bavav Hei V'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. V'yihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konenehu. Tehillim 81. This psalm was chanted in the Holy Temple on Rosh Hashanah, a day in which many miracles were wrought for Israel. The above Kavanah is connecting the psalm to Rosh Hashanah, a day of judgment. We use that intention, that connection, that Kavanah, when we're cited this song, this psalm. The psalm was also sung in the temple on Thursdays, on Yom, the fifth day of the week. And the psalm, being connected to Thursday, connects to the Sephirah of Hod and its essence of appreciation and thankfulness. The first word is Lamnatseach, and I recommend you review the Yearning for Redemption introduction for additional information about the first lines, the first verses of the various psalms. There are 17 verses in Psalm 81, and we know that 17 connects to the word Tov in Hebrew, and Tov translates as goodness. We will now transition to the PDF file. Lamnatseach al hagitit le'asaf. Lamnatseach al hagitit, dedicated to the one who grants victory to Israel, even through suffering. There's a footnote, 104, but the verses, the translation is not complete. So we're going to be moving between page 142 and 143 on the PDF as I continue. A song. Of Asaph. Footnote 104. This psalm was sung in the Bet HaMikdash every fifth day of the week, as well as on Rosh Hashanah. Its main theme is the exodus from Mitzrayim, from Egypt. The superscription reads, Lamnatseach al hagitit le'asaf. Lamnatseach is a conductor. In his commentary to Psalm 8, Rabbi Hirsch explains, the word gat is used as an expression of grievous catastrophes. This figure of speech, however, indicates that what is meant is only apparent destruction, while in reality the painful, bruising pressure, such as occurs during the wine pressing operations, does not destroy, but only brings out all the fine and noble essences that was locked within the crushed grape. Thus, the superscription of Al Hagitit would characterize the content of a psalm as a meditation upon the ennobling effect of those afflictions decreed by Hashem for our moral betterment. Similar to the image of the winepress, the Midrash likens Israel to an olive tree. Just as an olive must be crushed and oppressed to bring forth its oil, so the purpose for which Israel suffers persecution is in order to perfect it and eventually shine its light to all mankind. Yes, suffering ennobles man, but only when he is able to use it to transcend himself and experience reality on a completely different level. Of course, this is a ladder of many rungs. It begins with knowing of the existence of the Lamanet Metzeach. Once that realization hits us, we may never be the same, for we will realize that we have been, and I'm scrolling down to the continue the note, perceiving only a minute fraction of reality, that beyond the information and the pain we can access with our five senses, a vast world of meanings and interconnections exists, which is orchestrated by none other than the Grand Master, that therefore nothing just happens, but rather all is part of a single unified plan for mankind and creation. This is the meaning of our verse 11. I am Hashem, your God, who lifts you up out of the land of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a double form of the noun Mitzarim, the narrow straits and the double blind bind constrictions that hold us in bondage. Our exodus from these double binds is through the power of knowing, I am Hashem, your God. Again, this is like a great ladder which we must alight at the bottom and ascend. In our psalm, this ascent begins in verses 4 and 5, which alludes to Hashem's judgment on Rosh Hashanah. As the day of judgment, Rosh Hashanah teaches us that all suffering is decreed by God and is therefore for man's ultimate good. Verse 6 takes us back in time to ancient Mitzrayim, or Egypt, where Joseph suffered prior to being released from prison and catapulted to the position of Pharaoh's chief advisor over all of Egypt. Verse 7 jumps ahead to Israel's bondage in Mitzrayim, and the exodus there from verse 8 reminds us how Hashem continued saving them in the wilderness, first at the Yam Suf, the Red Sea, then at Marah, and finally at Maseh u'Merivah. Verses 9 to 11 call upon us to internalize the lesson learned from these experiences, namely that it is Hashem alone who fulfills our deepest longings. Verses 12 to 14 put the finger on the exact reason behind Israel's suffering in its long, tear-laden exile among the nations of the world. Verses 15 to 17 speak of what would happen if Israel could transcend the cycle of sin and suffering. We explore these eyes in depth in our commentary. I'm now going to read verse 2. Harninu Elohim Uzeinu Hariyu Lelohe Yaakov. Sing joyously to Elohim, our innermost strength. Stir yourselves to thank the God of Yaakov. I'm transferring to the Machon Mamre page. Harninu Lelohim Uzeinu Hariyu Lelohe Yaakov. Sing aloud unto Elohim, our strength. Shout unto Elohim, the God of Jacob. There are six words, and we know that the number six is connecting to Zeranpin when it is not unified with Malchut. There are 31 letters, which connects us to the name of God, El, Aleph Lamed. The third verse. Sel Zimra Utnu Tov Ki Nor Naim Im Navel. Take up the melody and sound the timbrel, the sweet harp with the psaltery, and the yearning for redemption translation. Take up a cutting chant, sound a tambourine, a pleasant harp, and a lyre. There are eight words connecting us to the world that is coming. Twenty-six letters connects us to the name of Hashem. The fourth verse. Blast a shofar at the beginning of the month, when the new moon is yet concealed, in honor of Rosh Hashanah, our day of celebration. Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'keseh le'yom hageinu. Transitioning to the Mechon Mamre, the English translation, blow the horn at the new moon, at the full moon for our feast day. There are 24 letters that connects to the 12 hours of day and the 12 hours of night. And six words connects to Zeranpin, not in unity with Malchut. The fifth verse. Ki hoch l'Yisrael hu mishpat l'Elohei Yaakov. For it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. The PDF, for it is a law for Israel. On this day, the God of Yaakov sits in judgment. It's important to notice that the word that's being translated for law in both places is hoch. And a hoch is a law that we just cannot understand as human beings in the physical form. And ultimately, do we truly understand why Hashem sits in judgment on Rosh Hashanah? There's a commentary here before verse 6. Yosef's suffering preceded his elevation to the highest office under Pharaoh in Mitzrayim. Verse 6. Beidut b'Yosef, samo potato. Aleretz Mitzrayim. Sefat lo yedati eshma. He ordained it in remembrance of Yehoseph when he was released from the dungeon on Rosh Hashanah and went forth to rule the land of Mitzrayim. It was then that Joseph said, I have heard a language I never knew. The Machon Mamre page, verse 6. He appointed it in Joseph for a testimony when he went forth against the land of Egypt. The speech of one that I knew not did I hear. There are 11 words. 11 connects to the Ketoret that draws you closer to Hashem. It also connects to the 10 Sefirot, and the 11th becomes the negative system. It's interesting to notice the last word is Eshma, which is the unity of listening, of the unity of hearing. It's a direct connection to the Shema. There are 42 letters, and that connects us to the 42-letter name of God, known as the Ana B'Koach. It connects us to the creation. So we have a hint. The language that he did not know, we're not sure what it is, but it could be the holy tongue as spoken in heaven, which would be different than the holy tongue that we speak from the Torah. The seventh pasuk. Hasiroti misevel shichmo. Kapav midud tavorna. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were freed from the basket. God says, many years later, on the same day, I began freeing Joseph's people from the servitude of carrying bricks and the menial labor of boiling lime. I removed their shoulder from the burden. Their hands were freed from the kiln. It's interesting to note, and most people never reconsider it, but what is the most grievous work or service that one can do to another or for another? The most grievous work is to do physical labor, like digging a ditch, and then being told when the ditch has been completed, you have to fill it back in. So what did you dig the ditch for? That is the most grievous form of work. It's the most grievous form of labor. And that is essentially what the labor that the Jewish people did in Egypt. Some will say it was building the cities, but in reality, it was this grievous labor that had no purpose except to keep you busy from doing other things that you wanted to do. There's a message in the PDF prior to verse 8. Hashem continued saving us at the Yam Suf, at Mara, and at Masa Umerivah, also that we would recognize him and know that it is he alone who fulfills our deepest longings. Patara karata wa achal techa e'encha beseter ram evchancha al mei meriva sela. And I continued rescuing you when you called out in distress on the shores of the Yam Suf. When you complained against me at Mara, I did not pay attention, but answered you. True, I tested you, but I did not fail to bring forth water from the rock when you complained at the waters of Meriba, Sela. I remind you that the word Sela is a word that says, pause here and contemplate what you have just read. God was performing these miracles, and all we did was complain. Or so it would seem. The Machon Mamre in verse 8. Thou didst call in trouble, and I rescued thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Eleven words. We've already discussed the number 11 and how it brings us closer to Hashem through the Ketoret. The ninth verse. Shema mi v'ayida bach, Yisrael im tishmali. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish thee. O Israel, if thou wouldst hearken unto me. My interpretation of this verse is that God is asking the people to follow the mitzvot so he does not have to exact negative consequences upon the people. The PDF, the translation is, O my people, hear me when I admonish you. Israel, if you could only hear me, my deepest calling is to you. Eight words, which we know connects us to the world that is coming. Twenty-seven letters representing the Hebrew alphabet of 22 plus the final letters. It's a hint. Whenever we see the number 27, it's a hint to us to return to Hashem and do the mitzvot as he has requested of us. Verse 10. Lo yehiye becha el zar v'lo tishtacha ve la el nechar. Let no alien power reside within you, and do not bow down before any external force. That message is very clear. It has been clear throughout history, and yet we continue to not hear it. Are we bowing down to external forces today? Are we crying to Hashem for the relief from the virus that we are experiencing these days? The Mechon Mamre translation is a little different. There shall be no strange god in thee, neither shall thou worship any foreign god. There are 9 words. Twenty-seven letters connects to the energy of all of the vessels, including the final letter forms. It's hinting to us that throughout history, but especially in the final generations, we need to be very careful about idol worshiping. Verse 11. Anochi Hashem Elohecha Hama'alcha Meretz Mitzrayim Harchev Icha V'yam Aleihu. I am Hashem, your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. The PDF. I am Hashem, your God, who lifts you up out of the land of Mitzrayim, the land of double binds and double constrictions. And there's a footnote of 105, but I'll continue to finish the translation. Open your mouth wide, articulate your prayer to me, express your deepest longing, pray for the ultimate redemption, and I will fulfill it. There's a second footnote on 106. So let's read footnote 105 first. I am Hashem, your God, who lifts you up of the land of Mitzrayim. Israel is a nation set apart from other nations. Hashem not only took us out of Egypt, he continues to take us out and leads us ever closer to the ultimate Mount Sinai and Mount Moriah at the end of history. He does this by constantly refining, constantly extracting, and constantly elevating us from our constrictions. Mitzrayim, as we have seen, derives from the word Mitzarim, narrow straits or constrictions. This is one explanation for why there are so many mitzvot in the Torah that involve separating a portion of something off from its base in order to elevate and sanctify not only itself, but the base from which it was taken. We see this is the mitzvah of Bikurim, first fruits, to be brought to Jerusalem and eaten in joyous celebration and sanctity. by the farmers, the challah, the teruma and maaser of animals and of fruits, the first shearings of the sheep, portions of which were all used in the Beit HaMikdash, and or to support the Kohanim and the Leviim, the peah corners of the fields, and aside from the poor, the omer of barley on the second day of Pesach, and many others. All these embody the idea that separating off a part of something and dedicating it completely to Hashem retroactively elevates and consecrates the entire base from which it came. This is exactly the case with Israel. Israel represents all the sparks of holiness that are scattered and trapped in the raw material of creation. When Hashem separates Israel out from Mitzrayim, this itself goes back to Adam, who was the challah, the truma, the dedicated essence of the Adama. He elevates them from the narrow confines and constricted consciousness of materiality. In this way, he sanctifies them and prepares them to receive the Torah and thereby become the nation through which all of creation will eventually be rectified. Footnote 106. Harchev picha ve'amalehu means literally, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. In English, this sounds like a play on words, but we actually learn a double lesson from this. When we take the time to speak to Hashem in detail, in our own words, and articulate all our deepest deeds, needs, desires, and hopes, disappointments, etc., to Him we are promised that He will not only fill our mouths with the right words to say, but having learned to ask for what He wants us to ask for the final redemption and the ultimate revelation of godliness on earth, He will fulfill our prayers, and bless us. Verse 12. Velo shama mi lekoli v'Yisrael lo avali. But my people did not hear or heed my voice. Israel did not wish to submit to me. The Mechon Mamre. But my people hearken not to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. Eight words connecting us to the world that is coming. We've discussed 27 in the 13th verse. Computer jumped, so please give me a second to recover. 12 in the PDF file. I'm sorry, we're on verse 13. V'yashalchehu b'shri rut le'ibam yelku b'mo'atzotehem. Verse 13 in the PDF. So I sent them away to follow their heart's fantasies, to pursue their own schemes and to suffer the consequences. But in the Mechon Mamre, so I let them go after the stubbornness of their heart, that they might walk in their own counsels. The translation is significantly different. There are five words which connects to the five worlds. Wa-shal-he-hu. And 31 letters connects to the name of God, El. Verse 14. Lo ami shomea li Israel bidrake. Yahaleku. Oh, that my people would hearken unto me, that Israel would walk in my ways. The PDF translation of verse 14. Still, if at any time my people would hear or listen to me, if Israel would pursue my pathways. Again, we have a significant difference in translation. There is a comment prior to verse 15. If we could only transcend the cycle of sin and suffering. Kimatovehem achnia ve'al tzarehem ashiv yadi. I would immediately subdue their enemies and turn my hand back against their oppressors. Mechon Hamre. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. There are seven words connecting to the unity of Zerantin and Malkut. Thirty-one letters connecting to the name of God, El, Aleph Lamed. Verse 16. Mesane Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yohe Tawanu Heyo Yikacha Shulo Wehitam Leolam. The haters of Hashem should dwindle away before him, and their punishment should endure forever. Verse 16. He would turn his hand against those who hate Hashem, his infinite compassion, against those who deny him, his existence, his providence, his love. Then their time would come to blot out their memory forever, whereas Israel's time would extend forever. Significantly different translation. Verse 17. V'yachileum mechelev chita umitzur devash asbiecha. He would then feed them, Israel, even the least of them, from the purest wheat. Hashem himself says, O Israel, I would miraculously satiate you with honey that flows from dry rock. They should also be fed with the fat of wheat, and with honey out of the rock would I satisfy thee. I'm going to now read the Hebrew in sequence. Lanatseach al hagitit liasa harninu leelohim uzeinu hariu leelohe yako seuzim ra utnu tofkin dor naim im navel tiku bachodesh shofar bakese liom hageinu ki hok li Israel umishpat leelohe Yaakov edut bi Yehoshev shamu potato al haaretz mitraim sefat lo yadata yeshma hasirohiti misevel shikmo kapav midud ta'avorna Batsara karata v'yachaltecha e'encha b'seiter shema mi v'yaida Bach Yisrael im tishma li lo vihye becha el zar v'lo tishtacha v'la el nekar Anohi Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Elohecha Hamalcha Meretz Mitzrayim Harchepicha Ve'amaletuhu Willo shama ami lekoli v'Yisrael lo avali v'ashalchehu bishrirut libam yelku b'motzatzotehem lo ami shmeali Yisrael bidrakai Yehaleku kimato yevehem akdiyavi altsarehem ashiv yadi misan hey Adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohaheda wanu hey yo Yikacha shulo vayehi tam leolam vayaki lehu mechelev Shita Umitsur Divashashbircha. That's the end of our class. Does anybody have any questions? I wish you all Shabbat Shalom, a beautiful Sabbath. Remind you to stay healthy, to be happy. Our next class will be Motzi Shabbat, where we will have a Zohar class. Shalom Gadol to all. The beautiful Sabbath.
Shalom. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom. Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.